We're starting the Gospel according to Luke. I just want to read the first few verses, and then we're going to talk about who he was and all that stuff. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now the question is, who was Luke? And nobody knows for sure, but to me there's some very strong hints of who he was. And so I think he may have been one of the 70. Let's go to Luke 10. By the way, Luke never names himself in the Gospels. Just as Mark never named himself and John never named himself. But Luke, in Luke 10, I said Luke 10, and I go to John 10. That's good. There were the various tests of discipleship in Luke 9. And then it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place, whether he himself would come. Now, there are some that believe Luke was one of the 70. I don't know for sure about that. But let's look and see where the most pristine example of who he was. We've read it many times, but let's go to Luke 24. Or Luke, pristine testimony instead of example. This is right after the resurrection. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went out that same day to a village, and it was two of the disciples, called Emmaus, which was from the Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And again, remember, the crucifixion, the year of the crucifixion was a jubilee year. It had more people, and Josephus said there were 250,000 lambs slain for that Passover. Which, if you take 10 to 20 people for each Passover, it's humongous, plus the women and children that were there. So anyway, Jerusalem was built for the feast, remember, and they had the upper rooms were for the feasts. And so there wasn't enough room in the upper rooms, and so they had them scattered about all over around about the suburbs and Bethany and Bethpage, and now Emmaus was one of the places. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And has not known the things which are come to pass in these days. Now why, and again, to me this is another example of the humility of these guys, because I believe with everything in me that was Luke, because that was writing about Cleophas, but he wouldn't name himself.
But he was the other guy?
Yeah, no question. To me, there's no question.
Why are you so convinced?
Because, think about it. Why did he name Cleophas and didn't name the other guy? Not Cleophas is not mentioned elsewhere.
Plus, he has, you know, the, all this complete background on what they were then talking about.
Right,
this
right.
Happened when other places it would have said Jesus appeared to some guys and this happened. You know.
No, it says it's anyway.
I'm just curious.
Now let's and let's go to John 12. Verse 20. This is, again, this is where Jesus had just entered, made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in the Passover. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I believe he was one of the Greeks that came and said, "We would see Jesus." He had been one of the 70. He wanted to see Jesus before this crucifixion, and then he saw him after the crucifixion. Now, Paul alone names him. Let's look at, well, let's talk about where he is from first. Some people say he was from Antioch, but I believe he was from Alexandria, and that because he was a physician, and there weren't many physicians around in those days. Alexandria was commissioned to be built by Alexander the Great. He had made his first trip in that area, or a trip in that area, anyway, I should say, in 330-something B.C., 331, I think. And he saw this. There was a little teeny fishing village that jutted out into the Mediterranean, and he envisioned this perfect harbor there for. And so he commissioned the greatest architect that was alive at that time to build the city. And Alexandria became the capital of the world with regard to trade and commerce, because they had the ships coming from India up through the Red Sea. They had all kinds of traffic, and the city was an example of perfection according to the eyewitnesses from that time. It was laid out with streets as wide as 200 feet. There were supposedly 4,000 temples, 4,000 bathhouses. Millions of people lived there. And there was Alexander the Great's whole way of thinking about stuff was He built the city so that there were sections for each of the races. And so there was a huge section for the Jews, a section for... In fact, the Egyptians had the worst section, because Alexandria is in Egypt, obviously. But all the other, the Africans and Indians and everybody else, they had their own section of the city.
So he was racist?
No. He was smart. But anyway, the Christians were well treated up there, even after they became Christians. And a lot of the they were well treated until Nero. And then at different times. But anyway, I believe he was from Alexandria. He spent so much time in Antioch, I believe that they had relatives at Antioch. So, but think of it, here's a physician, massive amounts of training, well learned in all of the various arts and sciences, and he just gave up everything to follow this itinerant preacher, which is, he had to be well versed in the gospel to do something like that. What?
Well, I'm thinking about... we talk about doing everything to the ultimate, which Luke sounds like he did, and found out there was no perfect satisfaction or great satisfaction in that achievement. And then here comes Jesus, and he sees, wait a minute, there's something substantial there, just like Paul, who was the best
Amen.
Of the crowd, and he did the same thing. So it speaks well to that. Give it all you got, do your best,
right.
whatever it takes.
And remember in that the rest of that description about the two men on the road to Emmaus they broke bread with him, and when they ate, he disappeared from their sights. And then didn't our hearts burn while he talked to us and opened unto us the scriptures? So that burning heart would have.
There's the Catholic symbolism.
What?
That's a Catholic symbolism. They got a burning heart.
Oh.
But that's an interesting idea.
You know what I like? Think about symbolism.
No,
I mean to have somebody that you worship those things. You have them as images.
Yeah, but it's interesting. That's one of their symbols, and it's this. The heart does burn.
Amen. Okay, let's look and see where he's named. And let's go to Colossians first, Colossians 4.
I've got a customer that I'm working for right now who has a cross fetish. His house is filled with crosses.
Are you working for Bruce Fogarty?
No. This is a very successful advertising guy. And they're all unusual, and one of the art pieces on his wall is a strangely fabricated bright red heart with a fire and a big eyeball on it. And it just cracks me up.
All right, in the closing, the exhortations to in Colossians, he's saying, we looked at this the other day, starting verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So again, I think this is the first time he's named, but that may not be true. So let's go to what we just studied in 2 Timothy. Chapter 4.
It is interesting how he could be in such a position to know everything and declare it as this is what has taken place. So you got to be right at the scene.
Amen. And plus the fact that he spent there was a 2-year period when Paul was in prison that it is likely, or many scholars think that's when he went back and spent a lot of time with Mary and Joseph, if he was still alive, and to get the full of the early years, because there were so many ridiculous gospels that were written by these people that never knew him, but they just made up stories, you know, the things about he got in a fight and killed a boy, and then he raised him from the dead when he was 12 or 11 or something, and then he fashioned a bird out of clay and breathed it on it and flew away. All those kind of stories, I mean, they're just rampant in those Gnostic and early pseudo, like the these other things. And he had to set the record straight, that's what. All right, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Again, powerful stuff. And then go to Philippians. And that's Philippians, Philemon, which is right after Titus.
Oh.
Right before Hebrews, right after, it's Second Timothy, First and Second Timothy, then there's Titus, and then there's Philemon. Find it.
Okay. In Hebrews.
Go before Hebrews, just before the. It's a little book, only 25 verses.
All right.
And you were a little slow this morning.
Yeah, I am.
Take a ride at Titus.
All right.
Usually he's there before we are.
I know.
Well, I was earlier, but Philemon threw me off.
Philemon.
Throw him off by giving his little bitty book.
I was ready to go, and then Philemon, I'm like, what?
And in verse 19, I, Paul, have written this letter with mine own hand, and I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee now how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He doesn't say it, but he's saying it. This is, you remember, the slave that ran away and then became a believer. Verse 20, ye brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There, salute the Epaphras, however you pronounce it, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborer. Lucas is Luke. Let's look just for a minute about these guys that don't name themselves. And let's look at Mark 14. This is the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. And this is where, and they laid, in verse 46, and they laid hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as a thief, as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Now, that's just a couple of verses thrown in to this incredible place of the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I believe this was Mark, because who else would have put that in there? Remember, they had just had Passover at Mark's parents' house. Mark wasn't old enough to partake of the Passover, but he was curious. He watched them, and then he followed them out to the Garden of Gethsemane, wrapped only in the linen cloth. And then one of the temple guards tried to grab him, and they grabbed his linen cloth, and he ran home naked from the Garden of Gethsemane. That was a long way, because if we're right, he lived in Bethany, and they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, so it's quite a ways away. No, I had a similar experience, which I'll tell you about. I think I already told you about it. Now let's look and see John. John doesn't name himself. John 20. No, John 13, excuse me.
It's interesting, the idea of naming yourself, it goes against the very thing you're writing about. Once you come to that understanding.
John what?
John 13. This is at the Passover. We know exactly how they were sitting. And it, so it says in verse 21, and when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Again, John was the youngest disciple. And in, you know, in the when they reclined at the Passover, Jesus, John was sitting to his right. Judas was sitting to his left. Peter was after, and they leaned over. So again, that's how John describes it. Let's see how he get described. What?
I was just laughing. And had he named himself, it would have just kind of spoiled the whole book he wrote. And there I am.
Okay, let's go to John 23. I mean 21. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So apparently it was a little spiffiness between Peter and John, probably arising from jealousy because the love that after the flesh that he had for John. So anyway, but neither Luke does not name himself, John does not name himself, Mark does not name himself. Now let's go to what's called or called the we verses in the book of Acts. Acts 11. Remember that Luke wrote two volumes. The book, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts. And originally that was one book in two volumes. And at some point, they separated into being two books. So, Acts 16. Wait a minute.
16, you said Acts 11.
Yeah, I'm in Acts 11. I'm starting to hurt pretty badly here. This is... The first part of 11 is where Peter is severely rebuked by the Christians. And then it starts talking about Antioch. Anyway, in verse 19.
Why is he rebuked by the Christians?
Because, remember, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. Well, we'll read that if you want to.
Yeah, but I mean,
okay. Let's start. We'll come back to. We'll read that part. And the apostle in verse 11, chapter 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance, and I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners. And it came up, and it came even to me. Now, man, let's go. Upon which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls in the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come in unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how that he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord that said unto me, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And this was a huge deal. The Jews wouldn't eat with Gentiles. And so Paul had to be shown this incredible thing, that what he has declared clean, that there was no difference between Jew and Greek, or bond and free, Gentile or we'll come back on to more looking at who Luke was tomorrow, but I need to stop. Anybody have any other thoughts real quickly? All right, take it, big guy.